I do so. I remember when I was sharing with Brother Becker yesterday as we were out on visitation making some calls, and I said, you know, I was really, really excited, Brother Wally, about this series of messages when I started, and I've enjoyed the messages, but well, I'll be glad when it's over too, amen. There have been rough messages, amen. Hard preaching. We need the facts, amen. We need what God's Word says, and so as we conclude this series, again, we've done so with a steadfast desire to plainly preach the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need. We don't need man's opinion. We don't need Dr. Phil's opinion. We don't need Dr. Laura's opinion. We don't need Reverend Ratzifratz's opinion. We need what God says. Amen. What the Lord says. And so we've done that, but then also a desire to educate the saints of God. I appreciate so much Brother Kelly coming to me after last week's message, and he said, I've always known what you were preaching last week was wrong, Pastor. But he said, all that information sure settles the issue, doesn't it? Amen? And it does, amen. And then also, a stern love and warning to those that would defy God. For to defy God is utter foolishness and ruin, amen? And so this message today continues in our series. In our first message, by way of review, we preached a message called The Silent Holocaust. What does God say about abortion? Well, we talked about the insidious ancestry of abortion. How it was based in America, particularly in the 60s, on fornication and fabrication. And then we talked about the incredible amount of abortions. Over 52 million abortions in America since Roe v. Wade, January 22nd, 1973. That is more than the populations of 172 countries, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about the irresponsible arguments for abortion, and we'll not take the time to go through those again. We talked about the inhumane awfulness of abortion, the various methods that they use to murder a child. Thank you very much. To murder a child. Amen. And then we talked about the immovable authority against abortion. The life of the flesh is in the blood. When there's blood, there's life. And right at conception, ladies and gentlemen, there's blood. And there's life. Amen. And thank God for that. We know God is still in control. Then in our second message, we talked about what does God say about alcohol? And we talked about how it is straight out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked about the consequences of alcohol and how alcohol sustains sin and it sacrifices security and it steals souls. It perverts reasoning. It prevents repentance. It padlocks redemption. And then we talked about some curses of alcohol. It carries the curse of slavery and sorrow and shortage and stupidity and sexual immorality and separation from God. And we know there's a curse on the cellar as well. And we talked about the conviction, what God's Word says about alcohol. And if you'd be honest, ladies and gentlemen, God's Word says no to alcohol. Amen? And then, of course, we talked about the cure. The cure is to see booze for what it really is and to separate from booze. And last week, probably the most difficult of the messages was just simply, what does God say about alternative lifestyles? And we titled our message simply, The Sodomites. What does God say? And we talked about the presence of the Sodomites, and we talked about the pleas of the Sodomites, and the program of the Sodomites, and its acceptance through education and entertainment and endless litigation and enacting legislation. And we talked about the products of the Sodomites, disease, depression, degradation, and death. And then we talked about the path out of Romans chapter 1. It's a path of willful blindness. It's a path of wicked beliefs, and it's a path of wretched behavior. We talked about moral perversion and mental perversion. And we talked about the prescription. There is a prescription, and it's the word repent. Amen? Aren't you glad that's still a prescription from God? When you're going astray, when you're going the wrong way, you can repent. Come back to God. So I love America. Can I tell you that? I love America. When I think of America, I think of America's godly heritage. I think of how men in our legislature, when it first came to be, how when there was a disagreement or when there was strife, Brother Jones, that they'd call apart and say, let's pray. Let's set aside a time of fasting and prayer. By the way, those that are liberal and changing history would like to remove that, but it exists, amen? History is stubborn facts, amen? And that certainly is our godly heritage. When I think of America, I think of its gorgeous landscapes. You go across America, and I know my wife has said before, I'd like to go visit Europe or this or there. And again, if somebody gave me a free trip to Europe, I wouldn't turn it away, amen? But there's enough to see in America. And there, my goodness, you go to the different gorgeous parts of America. I think of its godly heritage and its gorgeous landscape. I think of America, I think of its generosity. Whenever there's a disaster in the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just our tax dollars, which, you know, take that one wherever you want, amen? But the generosity of the American people to pull a couple dollars out of their pocket and put it in a Red Cross bucket. If you bet at Christmas time and you've seen the bell ringers out there, amen, my wife says, we're going to be generous, bless God. And I'm sitting there with my hands tied around my money and she pries my fingers. No, America's a generous nation. Generosity. I think of our great military, the people that literally put their lives on the line to allow us to do what we're doing today. But can I say, while I do love America, and I think highly of America, I also think of the issues of our time. I think of America's complicity in the murder of 52 million babies. I think of America's calling evil good and good evil. I think of America and its coddling of malcontents and miscreants. I think of America creating, marketing, distributing, and viewing pornography. That's the topic of our message today. I've entitled our message, The Scarlet Sin of America. And I believe it is. I've heard the statistic, and I think it is probably a low statistic, that 50% of men in churches view pornography on a regular basis. 50%. It really is, ladies and gentlemen, the scarlet sin of America. It comes from the Greek word, four different Greek words in your New Testament. The first is the word porneia. Porneia, it's a noun. Always translated in your King James Bible 26 times, fornication. Then we have the verb form porneo. Seven times translated commit fornication and one time to commit. Another noun, porne, eight times translated harlot, four times translated whore. And then pornos, five times fornicator, five times as whoremonger. Pornography is Greek for writing of prostitutes. And the term may have derived its meaning from signs hung outside of Greek brothels. Porneus was a character in Greek legend and mythology who was called fornication personified. A good description since his name comes from the Greek noun porneia, fornication. He was the son of Anagus, meaning in chastity, two of his brothers being Macus, adultery, and Ushilgus, lasciviousness. Porneus tried to rape Parthenia, maidenly chastity, after whom the Parthenon, the temple of the maiden, was named. But the marital maid killed him with a spear. So says Greek mythology. Let me say again, that I believe pornography in our day, pornography, pornos, is the scarlet sin of America. And it's not only infiltrating and invading and infecting the homes of the world. It's infecting the homes, and invading the church of God's people. It is. You can say amen. By the way, you don't have to be guilty of a particular sin to say amen. It's all right, amen. It's truth. And I believe it's having its effect. Pornography is not a respecter of persons. Pornography does not care if you're young or old. Pornography does not care if you are working or unemployed. Pornography does not care if you're a church member or an atheist. And can I say even more so now, it's hard to believe, but pornography does not care whether you're a man or a woman. Woman, women are getting bound up in the sin of pornography. Let me say number one, by way of an outline today, let me talk to you about the reality of pornography. The reality of pornography. 2006, Jerry Repleto, top 10 reviews, these statistics speak for themselves. Pornography in America in 2006 grossed $13.3 billion. $13.3 billion. That is more than the revenue of the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, and Major League Baseball combined. $13.3 billion. This is how I know, ladies and gentlemen, that not only does that sin affect the world, but it also affects the church. Those staggering statistics, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just outside the walls. 89% of all pornographic web pages originate in the United States of America. 244,661,900 web pages. 40 million adults have admitted to visiting pornographic sites regularly. Every second in the U.S., listen to these folks, this will boggle your mind. Every second in the United States, $3,075 is spent on pornography. Every second. 28,258 internet users view pornography. 372 internet users search the web with adult terms. I appreciate what Vicki Pudell said yesterday. She said, I don't know why they would call such juvenile behavior adult. It's certainly not. It's selfish. Listen, pornography is everywhere in every media. We're talking to the men as we before we had prayer. And listen, men, if you can get here for 9:10, 9:15, we pray in my office and we need you. Amen. Really need more men praying. But we're talking about how it used to be, ladies and gentlemen, that a man would have to go into a particular district of town that was a shameful thing. And he used to have to bow his head and tip his hat and perhaps wear sunglasses. And he'd have to go in and get a magazine and come out with a brown bag. It's not that way anymore. It's as simple as having a credit card and an internet account. And men wait until their wife and children go to bed and they get on and they view this filth. Pornography. The reality of pornography. And I give you some reasons that people give for using pornography. Again, if I could go back and in this series, I talked about how we named it Issues of Our Time, and I think it is a good title for this series of messages, Issues of Our Time. But if I could go back and I could look at these different four issues, I could perhaps rename it Selfishness Personified. Because it's a selfish person that has an abortion. Amen? It's a selfish person that puts the devil's poison down their throat in the form of liquor. It's a selfish person, as we talked about last week with Gaten Dugas, that found out he had AIDS and continued to infect other people. It's the height of selfishness, and so is pornography. But if I had another title, I would probably call it Rights Without Responsibilities. Because you, in America, you have the right to an abortion. But no responsible person would ever murder a beautiful baby in the womb. You have the right to drink liquor, but no responsible person will put that poison in their body. You have the right to be a sodomite, but no responsible person would continue in that behavior. And in America, if you're 21 years old, you have the right to view pornography, but no responsible person. No responsible Christian should watch pornography. There's some reasons that they give for using pornography. One is just simply pleasure. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So is the day that we live. Desires. Dissatisfaction in the home, particularly the marriage bed, ladies and gentlemen. Some view pornography as an escape. like anything else, like drink. They use it as an escape from reality. Boredom. But really, the real reason for using pornography is it's just a little word. It's a three-letter word. S-I-N. Sin. Sin, sin, sin. That's what it is. The reality of pornography, the reasons for using pornography. Let me give you some responses to pornography. I'm not hurting anyone. It's a response that people give when you challenge them with the sinfulness of pornography. You're hurting your relationship with God. You're involved. God's involved. Your mind and how you relate to others involved. You're probably hurting your physical intimate relationship with your spouse if you're married. Trying to get them to live up to a false standard that doesn't exist. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. How about this one? Hey, this is America. I have the right to be happy, don't I? I mean, after all, isn't that in the Constitution that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you think the framers of our Constitution meant for you to look at naked pictures of other people when they wrote the Constitution, you are a fool. Amen. Foolish. Foolish argument. How about this one? We've heard this one a lot. It's just a harmless adult pleasure. How many of us have heard that? Amen. I know I have. I'd like to read you a lengthy quote. And please listen to this quote. And that's part of the tragedy of this whole situation. I grew up in a wonderful home with two dedicated and loving parents. As one of five brothers and sisters, we as children were the focus of my parents' lives. Now pay attention, folks. This sounds like some of our homes right now. We regularly attended church. My parents did not drink or smoke or gamble. There was no physical abuse or fighting in the home. I'm not saying it was a Leave It to Beaver, but it was a fine, solid Christian home. I hope no one will try to take the easy way out of this and accuse my family of contributing to this. I know, and I'm trying to tell you as honestly as I know how what happened. As a young boy of 12 or 13, I encountered outside of the home, in the local grocery and drug stores, soft core pornography. Young boys explore the sideways and byways of their neighborhoods. And in our neighborhood, people would dump the garbage from time to time. We would come across books more graphic. This also included detective magazines. And I want to emphasize this, the most damaging kind of pornography, and I'm talking from hard, real, personal experiences, is that that involves violence and sexual violence on television all the time, by the way. Sexual violence. He goes on to say, I'm not blaming pornography. I'm not saying it caused me to go out and do certain things. I take full responsibility for all the things I've done. That's not the question here. The issue is how this kind of literature contributed and helped mold and shape the kinds of violent behavior. In the beginning, it fuels this kind of thought process. Then, as at a certain time, instrumental in crystallizing it, making it into something that's almost impossible to separate from. I was on the edge, and the last vestiges of restraint were being tested constantly and assailed through this kind of fantasy life that was fueled largely by pornography. January 24th, 1989, Ted Bundy confessed to murdering and committing such acts of lewdness that we could not mention in the pulpit. Confessed to 26 murders between 1974 and 78 and was executed the next day after he made that statement to Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family. It's not a harmless adult pleasure. It's not a harmless adult pleasure. It's biological. I was just born that way. You know, people of God use this excuse all the time. I was just born that way. Did you get born again? You know, because there's something called the Holy Spirit. that comes to live inside us, folks. And God sanctifies us, and He calls us to holiness. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And then He says this at the end of the verse, for I am the Lord that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Whatever happened to old-fashioned holiness among the people of God? Well, give me the shallow excuse. I was just born that way. I like girls. Well, praise the Lord for you, but listen, you can still be holy. How about God supplies you with grace for every trial, sir, ma'am? Doesn't He? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, as Paul three times asked for God to remove the thorn, he said this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why did he say that? Because God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. How about this one? I can't help it. I can't help it. Listen, sir, you're limiting God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can deliver you. God can deliver you from anything. Amen? I've got to get it out of my system. How about that one? Does that mean when you feel like killing somebody, you got to get that out of your system? Those Sammons, there's some people I met that I felt like killing. Amen? I guess I better just get it out of my system. No. Does that mean that when you're mad at someone that you're not able to manage your anger? Do we just act on our impulses and our wills instead of submitting our wills to God? You know, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 tells us. It's okay. Here's another one. It's okay to be attracted to women. Yes, it's very much okay for a man to be attracted to a woman. Amen. That's the way God designed us. Thank God for that. However, attraction and lust are two independent avenues. Amen? The Bible says in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Here's one that folks will use, particularly Christians. I'm imperfect. We're all sinners. Listen, we are all sinners. But don't use that as a justification to continue in sin. It's wrong. It's true. But just as Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness with true statements in deceitful ways, so these can allow you to give in to temptation. Listen, there's a struggle, yes, but Christ can help you to overcome. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, John 16:33. He said in 1 John 4:4, listen, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear. How about this one? I've messed up already, so I might as well go ahead and sin. Can I tell you why you shouldn't go ahead and sin, even though you have messed up already? Consequences. You know what some consequences are? Maybe a disease. If you follow through with pornography. Amen? How about this? I know this for a fact, getting saved at 23 years old. One of the worst consequences of pornography is guilt. 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 How about a hardened heart to the things of God? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3:13 tells us. How about damaged fellowship with God? You can't be looking at pornography and have any kind of relationship with God. You just can't. How about self-condemnation? How about an unwanted pregnancy? How about opening up avenues for evil to have control in your life? Creating strongholds, as the Bible says. By the way, it's not too late to turn to God. Even if a candle is already lit and halfway melted,
It's not too late to blow it out before it sets the room on fire. Amen?
How about this one? Well, I'll go ahead and do it because God will forgive me. There's one that gets my blood to boiling. It's that one. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall then we that are dead to sin live any longer? They're in Romans 6, 1 and 2. The reality of pornography, the reasons for pornography, responses to pornography. How about the ruin of pornography, ladies and gentlemen? The first thing it does is it gives you a filthy psyche. A filthy psyche. One of the methods that pornography employs is it makes everyday situations pornographic. And so consequently, what happens is that people that look at pornography, when they come across everyday situations, they think of them in a pornographic manner. It gives you a filthy mind. A filthy psyche. It's a ruin of pornography. How many people that have been in the bondage to pornography and said, I just wish I could think clean thoughts. I wish I could get a spiritual Brillo pad into my head and just clean it out. You can, by the way. It's called the Word of God. Renewing your mind that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable, perfect will of God. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Filthy psyche is a ruin of pornography. Futures pilfered or stolen. Every pornographic picture of a woman, sir, is somebody's little girl. I think about that as I see these beautiful little girls running around here, these sweet, innocent little girls. Amen? Amen? I think of some father at home and his daughter, she used to go to church with him. She crawled and walked and babbled and carried a teddy bear and hugged her mom and dad and smiled and said, I love you and went to church and had teeth missing and had those cute little pictures. And then she went off to Hollywood to try to make some money. Now she's bound up in that lifestyle so bad that she has to drink liquor and take prescription pills to be able to do what she's going to do. Hey, sir, that's somebody's little girl you're looking at. That's somebody's little girl. Doesn't that do anything to you? Somebody's little girl. I have boys, but I see your precious little girls, those of you that have girls. I can't think of a father in the world that say, you know, of all the career choices, I really wish my daughter were going to pornography. No, sir. No, ma'am. Amen? Filthy psyche, futures, pilfered. How about this one, Brother Jones? Full prisons. Brother Jones, Brother Heath, Brother Wally, they go in, they minister to these inmates. Listen, I don't know the statistic on this. Brother Jones would be a better person to talk to. But I would say 80-20 are in there have had pornography affect their behavior. Full prisons. Full prisons. You know what else there is? Sadly, the ruin of pornography. There's a filthy psyche and a futures pilfered. There's full prisons. But there's a froward progression, isn't there? You know, it starts out with soft images. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. And do you know why they convict men of child pornography? That a man could watch a child doing things like that. They started out with just regular pornography. And it gets worse and worse and worse. How do you know, Pastor? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13, we read it this morning. Let me give you quickly, I'm going to throw these at you. Let me give you some remedies for pornography. There is remedies, amen? There's remedies. The first remedy is confessing. The first thing you have to come to God, you don't come to me, I'm not a priest, amen? You come to God. The first thing you need to confess, if you're not saved, is you need to confess your need for Christ. You need to confess the fact that you are a sinner and need a Savior. See, the man who's not saved and trying to fight the battle of pornography is like the man who is left out in the Pacific Ocean and thinks he can make it to shore. It's not going to happen. You need the Holy Spirit to help you. The illustration would be the Holy Spirit, the Lord comes by with that boat, amen, and says, hop on in the boat and we'll get you to shore. See, people trying to take on pornography without the Holy Spirit have no chance in all God's people said. You need to confess your need for Christ. Secondly, you need to confess your guilt and need for forgiveness if you're dabbling in the sin of pornography. Or perhaps you're completely bound up in the sin of pornography. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of pornography in the grocery store. Amen? As you walk to check out and there are half-naked people, there's a lot of pornography on television. All over the television. Didn't even take time to mention that. But do you need to confess your guilt and need for forgiveness? Something else, sir, ma'am, I don't know if it's ma'am, mostly sir, I would say, you need to confess your weakness. Because we all do have flesh. And it's out there and it's available. Confessing is a remedy for pornography. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Not only confessing, but loving. That's a remedy for pornography. You say, what do you mean loving? Loving your God more than pornography. Loving your spouse more than pornography. Loving your children more than pornography. Loving yourself more than pornography. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, sir, ma'am. Don't ever forget that. Not only confessing and loving, but yielding. We mentioned that last Sunday night. Yield yourselves unto God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How about mortifying? You say, what's that, Pastor? It means to kill. You say, what do you mean, kill? Paul said this, Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. You know what God wants you to do, spiritually speaking, is to feed the Spirit and nourish the Spirit and kill the flesh. You're not going to kill the flesh looking at that filth. You're going to encourage it. You're going to feed it. Mortify it. How about resisting? We just mentioned that, James 4:7. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Romans 13:14 says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. How about this? How about reading? That's a remedy for pornography. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 15:3, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And we mentioned Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. Hey, if the whole world thinks pornography is okay, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How about thinking? That's a remedy for pornography. I'd say this, if you're looking at pornography, you're not thinking. Right thoughts, amen. What does it say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's not pornography. Whatsoever things are honest, that's not pornography. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, that's definitely not pornography. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Something else that will help you is a remedy for pornography. Attending the house of God. Getting around God's people. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And again, I don't make any apology for this. Barring employment or emergency, every Christian ought to be in the house of God when the door squeaks. I don't apologize for saying that in the least bit. I don't apologize for that. You know why? We need you and you need us. Amen? Oh, attending the house of God. Listen, you, Brother Jeff and I were out visiting yesterday and talked to somebody and they said, I just can't come to the house of God. I just can't. Something was going on in their life. They said, I just can't attend. And Brother Jeff and I were talking about that, how easy prey somebody is for the devil when they're all by themselves. That sheep that straggles along behind, he's easy prey for the wolf. Attending the house of God. How about one last one? Something else is a remedy for pornography.
rising up. Well, I always know when it's about time to be done. All the electronic watches start going off. Amen. Everybody starts going, yeah, hey, Pastor, the chicken is in the oven. Amen. I promise you, I'll be done with this. Something else a remedy for pornography is not only these ones we talk about attending and reading, but rising up. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Listen, sir, young man, I don't know. I know God wanted me to preach these series of messages. There are very, very few times where I'm looking down my barrel right at somebody when I preach. I just know that we need these messages, amen? But if you've fallen in that sin, you know what you need to do, spiritually speaking? Obviously, confess, ask God for forgiveness, all those things, but you know what you need to do? You need to go. Get up. Start walking with God again. Amen? A just man falls seven times and riseth up again. We could say this, a just man falls seven times and rises up eight times. Amen? Boy, I know this message, and the hardest part about these messages, ladies and gentlemen, is trying to remember that we're in the pulpit. And certain things don't need to be said. But there's so much about this sin, the reality of pornography, the reasons for pornography, the responses to pornography, the ruin of pornography, and some remedies. Confessing, loving, yielding, mortifying, resisting, reading, thinking, attending. Listen, God can help you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's bow our heads for prayer.